This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, it is 5 o'clock and it is June 4th, 2020, and we will have, this is the Finance Committee meeting, and we will call the meeting to order. And Steve, if you would do roll call.
Chairman Nelson.
Here.
Vice Chairman Fagerly.
Here.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Councilman Plowman. Also in attendance, three present, one absent. Also in attendance are General Manager John Heron from the Municipal Utilities and Steve Okins, Finance Director for the city.
Okay, and just to note that Andrew Plowman had sent a text that he might be late or might not make it at all, and so he asked to be excused with that. We do not have any action items listed under number three, but we have a couple discussion items to go through. And the first one is the Wilmer Municipal Utilities 2019 audit and also April finance. And so, Mr. Okins, I think Mr. Heron is going to take that, right?
Yes, ma'am. If he, John, General Manager from the Utilities, is with us and is prepared to talk of the audit. We also included in the agenda the April finance, and I believe he's got some other information that he would like to update the council on. So with that, John, if you would want to start.
Okay, thank you, Steve, and hello to the Finance Committee. No, more than pleased to be here to provide the update, so always happy to do that. So whenever you have questions, by all means, reach out to us and we'll provide the information. As Steve has up there, it's our year end. It's our audit report of our combined schedule of revenue and expenses. All in all, we had a fairly good year here at the utility last year. You can see our total revenue was $36,352,000. Our expenses were at $9,329,000. Non-normal operating revenues and expenses, another $10 million. So we ended up the year with a change in our net position of $7,876,000. Out of that, those dollars are used for our capital projects. So most of that money went into our capital projects. We actually had a net change in our cash position of a little over $1 million. So through all the improvements that we made to our system, we were able to manage to increase our cash reserves by just slightly over $1 million. Any questions with our year-end audit summary? Otherwise, we'll move on. All right. Thank you, Steve. I wanted to, and Steve asked me too, if I could provide an update. So we put together this chart that Steve has up here, which is a comparison of our 90-day past due for the wastewater. The period is from February, March, and April of last year to this year. So you can see that, you know, last year at this time we had 33,000 in past dues. This year it was 62, double of where we were last year. And that's the same on our water and our electric funds. So our past dues are climbing. Our current past dues on our first billing cycle, we have two billing cycles here. And our billing cycle here 2 weeks ago, our past dues on our current 30-day that we send out past due notices for actually doubled. That number is sitting here as a total. No, I don't actually have the total dollar-wise, but our late charges went from 12,000 on that one billing cycle to 23,000. So our past due dollars double this last billing cycle, 2 week billing cycle. Yes, Councillor Osmond.
Do you think there was any confusion on people's part that, you know, they got a pass on mortgage payments and they got a pass on college student loan debt that they thought they didn't have to pay their utilities?
I would agree with that statement. We have, let me This week, I asked staff to pull some information for me for a commission meeting. And our commission meeting, our planning committee meeting that we had. And I wanted to know how many past due accounts that we actually have and how many of them have called in to make arrangements. Because usually when you send out past due, you know, people call in so you don't disconnect. And our customers are pretty good with calling. I mean, we don't have a lot of people we have to go disconnect. We usually work with them. But out of those 500 accounts that we have that are past due, we have zero arrangements right now. Anyone that we had arrangements with has quit making payments. And I believe it's because the perception is not the perception, the reality out there is people don't have to pay because they're not going to be disconnected. That's been in the paper, you know, starting at the state level, that utilities are not going to disconnect you. And if they do, call us and we can't charge them penalties. And people know that. So I believe that's why we are where we are with this. Those 500 discs, those 500 that we have in past due disconnects, these are 90 day now or 90 days delinquents. That total is $250,000.
So what guidelines do you have that you can't, even now when it's warm out, you can't disconnect anybody?
That's correct. That's correct. And Steve, if you're taking notes there for a minute, I prefer some of them numbers not be in the minutes, because last thing that I want to see is to give people ideas that, hey, we got 500 people not paying. Why am I paying? Yeah. I know we talked about that at commission level too, that it's pretty vague that we discussed this, but trying to keep the numbers out of the paper. Yeah. We have where we are at. It's Department of Commerce. Well, let me back up a little bit. Have you ever heard of the organization CUB, Citizens for Utility? I don't even know what the acronym is. But anyway, they represent the customers. They're a lobbying group. And they're pushing our legislative delegation hard to pass legislation prohibiting utilities from charging disconnect fees and or disconnecting. We are working with the Department of Commerce. Hopefully tomorrow, MMUA, our state association, is working hard for us to try and get the Department of Commerce to give us some latitude to start collecting again. So we're waiting. And as soon as they do, you're absolutely right, Councillor Osment, we are going to have a very short window of time here before the cold weather rule sets in again for us to go and collect.
Mr. Heron, I was on a call that Michelle was on, and very nicely and very wisely, you know, was stating, telling people to pay their utility bills because, they could wait, but they're going to, you know, they'd be double or triple or whatever, and it's like they're all going to have to be paid at one time. In order, you know, with that, and so just to pay them as they go. But is that a message that you are getting out to them, or how are you communicating with the 500?
We are trying. One of the challenges that I believe that we're dealing with, people know, even though we're out there, people know they don't have to pay. As an example, even your UCAP, your LIHEAT agencies across the state, last week when we were on call with MMUA, they said that the LIHEAT is seeing no increase. In fact, they have a decrease of requests for funding. And at the federal level, you're probably all aware of the fact that there was, what, an additional $900 million, does that sound right? $1 million that the federal government put into the LIHEAT program to help customers pay through this time. So, yeah, it's on the onset, the Department of Commerce did not want us to send out disconnect notices either. However, through discussions, collaboration with the Department of Commerce, they are allowing us to send out disconnect notices. And the reason they agreed to allow us to send out disconnect notices because the LIHEAP criteria requires, in a lot of cases, a disconnect notice in order for them to get assistance. So they're allowing us. So we continue to send out the disconnect notices. It's just people know that we're not going to disconnect because that's what's been in the paper, you know, from state level, federal level, that we can't disconnect. So we can do all the marketing we want. I think to some degree, they know they don't have to pay. And I think some are being hopeful that the government's going to make us write that off, or the federal or state level government will require utilities to write off those fees. Yeah. People are getting handouts for everything else. So that partially answer your question, Counselor?
Yes, it did. Thank you. I'll let you continue.
Okay. Any other questions on what the, you know, the commodity sales and revenues look like? Well, what we're seeing on the wastewater side, I thought was important, so the city knows what we're, you know, what our challenges are here, so they can plan accordingly as well for a revenue decrease here for the year. Okay. There's no other questions there. Then do we want to go to our current April financial report?
Does anyone else? Down just a little.
That is the combined.
All right. However, when we went into, give me a second here. When this COVID challenge started here, we had looked at what our potential impact or what this could have on the utility as a potential impact, and staff prepared some recommendations for the commission that they supported, which consisted of reducing our expenditures, or not reducing them, suspending our expenditures of about $2.5 million. So that we're seeing the benefit of that in our financials here. So first in the yellow there is the far right column is our prior year to date. So you can see combined we had $12 million in revenue. This year we're at $10.9 million, so we're down a little over $1 million in revenue. That correlates with what we're talking about, what we've been talking about here on the wastewater side, and that's reflective of the all divisions here over at utility, electric, water, and wastewater. If you go down to the orange color there, year to date, we have $8 million in last year, prior year, year to date, $8 million this year, year to date, we're at $6 million. So, well, our revenue is down $1.5 million. We've been $1.1 million. We've been able to curtail our expenditures, and we're sitting at $2 million under what we were at last year. So in the end, we still have a positive retained earnings of about $1 million as we speak today. However, with that said, the financials that we're talking about on the wastewater, even on electrical here, that is only through the end of April. As we all know, JNEO was down for 2 weeks here in May, so we do not have the impact of that yet either factored into this. So we'll be watching it very closely to see where things are going and to try to make adjustments to the best we can. With that said, we do have a catastrophic reserve fund over here at utility. Hopefully we don't have to tap into it, but we do have that as a resource available as well. Any questions with that? All right, then a couple more exciting things to talk about. We have, as we go forward here, we are picking up our water treatment plant project that we tabled here about a year and a half ago. And we're moving forward with it. We had a planning committee this week, and the planning committee is going to recommend to the commission that we move forward with this project. It's going to take about 9 months to finish design. We'll be going into construction hopefully next year. We have to move forward with it as for twofold. One is that we are running out of capacity as the community is growing. And the other is water quality. We're having a hard time retaining chlorine in our system, which controls bacteria. And the reason we're having a difficult time doing that is because of the ammonia in our raw water. So we need to move forward with that. And with that, that's going to require a bonding. That project, based on the engineer's estimate at 25 design, percent design is where it was at when we tabled it here a year ago. And their estimate is sitting at about $15 million. So we'll need to bond for that project. So we'll be working with the city and bond council to prepare a bond to fund that project as we go forward. Another big project that we have going, that we have in the makings, based on system reliability on the electric side, we need to invest more in a transmission system here in the Willmar area and to the west and southwest, based on a study that has been completed by Willmar, by GRE, by Otter Tail, Missouri River, and XL has a small piece in it as well. And our part of it, Willmar's part, that we're able to invest in the transmission system will be about $8 million. Hoping to have that project completed sometime in 2022. Then, with that, I guess I'd like to ask the finance committee, with our annual update that we send out, that we've been sending out the last 3, maybe 4 years already, and we've always met in person this time of year to go through. Is there any questions, or would you like me to run through that tonight, being that we're together here?
Mr. Oakins, would you like him to go through that?
That's entirely up to you, Madam Chair.
All right. How long, John? Do you want to do it then? That'd be fine.
It's totally up to you. If you got to go, just cut me off.
Oh, no, we don't have to go. So.
All right. Well, the first item on that update was the COVID response, which we kind of talked about already. And you know, we're same place the city is. We're doing what we can to keep our staff safe and healthy, as well as the community. Our lobby is still closed. The commission has elected to keep it closed until June 15th. We'll be talking about it Monday if we want to go to July 1st. So, you know, I'd welcome input from the council on that. If you're getting feedback on our lobby being closed, when we spoke of opening the office on the May 18th meeting, the commission had indicated that we should keep it shut till June 15th with possibly July 1st, and to bring it up here at our meeting on Monday again. I know the COVID numbers, positive cases are going down here in Willmar, you know, the last 2 weeks here with a couple spikes on a couple days. So I'm not sure where our discussion will go here next Monday, whether we'll be opening up on the 15th or remaining closed till the 1st. Power plant, as everybody knows, that's coming to a close here. Decommissioning date is June 30th. In fact, we were notified today that our environmental study is near completion. We'll be getting our preliminary report here next week from Wink Engineering on our environmental issues. So we'll have a better idea what our options will be with that building once we have that report. With the closing of the power plant, they always performed our 24/7, performed as a 24/7 call center for us. We are switching over to CRC, which is a call center, huge call center. They're stationed down in Austin. So they got 3 locations throughout the United States. So we're in the process of transitioning over there. Hopefully that'll be seamless. We have been down there to look at their operation. When our customers in Willmar call in, if they need something from the utilities, those phones will get answered as Willmar Utilities. So our customers here, our community, would not know that the calls are not being answered here. Yes, Councilor Osmond.
Austin, Minnesota or Austin, Texas?
Austin, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yep. Wilmer, and Pram, transmission investment, I mentioned that already. District heat, I talked about. Treatment plant, I talked about. New building, we're hoping to identify the criteria for site selection this year and possibly identify sites. However, with the COVID, that's one of the projects that got suspended for the time being till we know better where we're at. Low share program, talked about that in the past. We have all our present load control units changed out. We're looking at marketing in the community to bring all our properties on a load control system because of the savings that there is in load controlling on peak days. So there's about $2.5 million energy cost savings, which is a savings to, you know, everyone in Wilmer for that reduction in wholesale power costs. So as we complete the change out of our existing load controllers, we'll be looking at marketing that program to the community and try and get more people hooked up to it. We got a catastrophic event plan that's kind of tied to the decommissioning of our power plant. You know, at this point in time, up until June 30th, we have 12 megawatts of power over at the power plant that in the event of a catastrophic event, we could potentially bring online. It would take us 3 days to bring it online, but once the 3 days are up, we'd have power there. But with the decommissioning of the plant, that resource would not be available. We still got our diesel units there. So what we have done, we have looked at the different possibilities for providing power in the community if we were to have such an event that the transmission lines would go down, that we would be able, that we would not be able to get power into town. In addition to the 6 units that we have here, we would be able to rent another 7 units that would be placed in Minnesota. Ziegler actually has a FEMA contract, and they have units, multiple locations here in Minnesota as well as other places in the state, as they got the FEMA contract for providing supplement or portable power. We would have our system ready to hook those units up. We'd hook them up at the substations. That way, in the event we lost our 69 transmission line around the community, we would be able to, for the most part, provide power throughout the community with rolling blackouts depending on the time of the year. If it was in the heart of the summer when our weather was, you know, 90, 95 degrees that were peaking 60 to 70 megawatts, we would probably have rolling blackouts in thirds. If it's more in our off-peak season, we possibly could be, you know, half the community at a time. So that's the catastrophic event plan that the commission has approved here in order to maintain power in the community, or some level of power in the community, if we ever had such an event that would require that. Street lighting downtown, I will make an assumption, the finance committee, the council's aware of the status of that, but real quickly, we're hoping to install 4 test lights here, hopefully next week, so that downtown and the community, council, commission, everybody can see what they look like to see if those are the lights that they want, if there's enough looms there, things of that nature. And if not, you know, make minor adjustments to it so that we know the path that we're going to go down to when we start replacing the streetlights downtown. We're still on schedule at the utility. I believe the city is as well, for that to be a 2021 project. We have the lights. However, the city, your public works department, has an involvement in that because there's some sidewalk work and stuff that they would like to do all at the same time in conjunction with replacing the lights. So, and that's it locally. I don't know how much time you want me to spend. We also have MMUA legislative issues, concerns that we try to stay on top of, as well as national issues through the APPA and nationally. So I guess with that, I'll open it back up for questions. I know I'm covering stuff quite quickly here, but I'm more than happy to take time for questions.
Okay. Thank you, John. Just a question back on opening up the office. I have no clue the right thing to do there. I trust your commission and your judgment for your staff and I don't know how many people are in and out of your office, but is that something you would communicate with Mr. Grammett's on? I don't know what the city's plans are after a while here either, so.
Yes, we can communicate that with Mr. Grammett. We'll probably have to update our website. We'll update all our social media so people know that's open. What we're hoping to do is maintain social distancing in our lobby, which would only allow for three individuals in our lobby at a time. So we've, you know, I think Kevin told me we got footprints, but we ordered markers for the floor that, you know, people like you see in the businesses that they know where the six foot distances are. We're going to have signage on our door that says that basically say that there are three individuals in the office, please stay out, wait your turn. All those kinds of things to protect the general public. So, yeah, those were things that we talked about with our commission last week that when we do open up, we should be prepared for and make sure we order and supply for that. In addition to that, we're putting also a freestanding hand sanitizer bottle out there or dispenser out there. So if people come in and go out, they can sanitize their hands if they wish to. So you know, I don't know how much more we can do. To protect our staff, and this is working in our favor right now, and I don't know if anybody's been in our lobby in the last year and a half, but we put bulletproof glass in our lobby because some of the incidents we were dealing with here with our customers. So when you talk about plexiglass going in different businesses, we have that in place. So we're fortunate that way. We've talked about that a couple times already, how fortunate that we put that glass in a year and a half ago. So basically the entire lobby across the front counter has that plexiglass in it. It's bulletproof. And all there is a little tray underneath the plexiglass for customers to push their checks or cash through, whatever they might want to pay us with. So I think we're fairly safe from a staff perspective. Our greater concern is the community, that we maintain a safe environment for them.
Okay, sounds good. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Heron?
So John, is everyone disconnected from the hot water system now, or is there still a few?
No, Councillor Fagerly, we still have a number. I believe the number we presented to the commission last Monday or 2 weeks ago Monday was 75. Out of those 75, we have five of those also have hot water heat yet, and city buildings being one of them, and high rise. I know city's working on making sure they're off here by June 30th. I know the high rise is making sure they're off. We have reached out to all the customers here in January and February that were still on our system. And in January and February, we're at about 90. We were sending out quarterly letters from the time the date was set up until 12 months prior to June 30th here. Then we went to monthly. In end of July and end of January and February, we actually did personal outreach to everyone we had left and said, what are your plans? And everybody assured us that they have a plan, they're aware of it, and they're working at converting. Some their plan consists of not doing anything until fall, until August, September. They say, we don't need to heat during the summer, so we get through it in the fall, and we're just fine with that. So we have not made a decision yet, but at staff level, we've been talking about going to those that are left and removing the heat exchanger come July 1st, so that if reality hasn't set in that some people think that, oh, we still can turn that heating system on, we will remove that perception by removing that heat exchanger, our equipment, out of their homes. So we do not have a gas supply, and we do not have a boiler beyond June 30th. So there's no extending that date or the district heat system.
So do you think when that's all disconnected, will that help alleviate the problem with the cockroaches in the tunnels? with the heat and stuff being gone? Or you discuss that?
No, we didn't discuss that. Where do we have, I'm sure there's cockroaches in the tunnels, but are they getting into people's buildings and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, they say the tunnels typically don't run to the buildings. I mean, the tunnels are in the streets, and then from the streets, the service lines run to the buildings buried in the ground for the most part.
Well, they're in the basement of City Hall, and they're in the basement of the auditorium, so.
Okay.
There's other places, so. Okay. And I was always told that they're in the tunnels by the hot water pipes because it's nice and warm there. And
yeah. No, that would make sense. And, you know, I guess I don't know the layout there with the City Hall and stuff. But, yeah, if there's a tunnel there that's connected to the main tunnel in the street and those pipes are hanging there, yeah, it definitely is a place, you know, for, you know, critters to get into your building. Absolutely. Once that system is done, the best thing that could happen would be to cement that hole shut.
Yeah. Well, be interesting. Wait and see.
Wait and see, yeah. I would say them critters are going to continue to live in that tunnel because in the wintertime, it's just a warm place for them, even if the district heat isn't in there. You got your ground there that's going to keep those tunnels from freezing solid.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Heron? Julie, good? All right, Mr. Elkins, any questions?
No, thank you, John.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, council members. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for being here. And sharing. Yes, you care. All right, Mr. Elkins, we'll go back to our next discussion items, and that was just state financial information update. So do you have anything you want to share with us?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there really has not been anything coming out from the state. I'm sure some of that has directly been affected by the events that have been happening in the Twin Cities. The Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities had a webinar yesterday. We will be sending out that path and information for council members to be able to sign on and look and see what the coalition is saying that they anticipate the state doing. They feel that the special session may get bogged down now on again the events that have happened in the Twin Cities for the last week or so. And so more information to come. The coalition is saying the same. They went through basically the options that are available, but that the information hasn't been finalized, and it's kind of a work in progress. Hopefully we'll have more for our June 18th scheduled meeting.
Okay. You'll send that out to the full council. I did listen to that webinar, but I think the PowerPoint or the PowerPoint that's available does have some nice summary on it, and so I think would be a quick and easy way to review that if you don't want to listen. I think it lasted about an hour, so.
Yeah, I went on the coalition's website this afternoon, and they do not have it downloaded on that yet. But they will attach it to the newsletter that they send out, and I will forward that on to the full council.
Okay. All right. Is that it for tonight then, as far as that information?
As far as the state, as far as the information I have at this point.
Okay. Any questions, Councilmember Osmus? Councilmember Fagerly? All right. Okay, then just future agenda items. I do believe that Caris Health Rice Hospital, that is scheduled for the 18th. I think Mr. Gramitz is having a conversation with Mr. Schramm about that, so we'll watch for that. And then are there any other council information requests? I'm not seeing anybody shake their head or say anything here, so. If you do, please let Mr. Elkins know or myself know if you have some information requests. And do we have anything else, any other business before we adjourn? Not seeing anything there either, so a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All right. Thank you. We are adjourned. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, everybody. Stay safe.
Thanks.